I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Lenten Rouge Cycling Podcast with Benji Nyson for the recap of Stage 8 of the Tour de France 2021, brought to you by our show partner, Lacolle. Now, if you want to support the podcast, there's a few things you can do. The biggest one is, I guess, subscribing to the Lenten Rouge Cycling Podcast YouTube channel. If that's where you listen, if you listen on podcast players, make sure you're actually subscribed to the podcast on Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen to it. We're trying to get to 20,000 subs on the YouTube channel, and we can't see the metrics of the supporters or followers on podcast players, but it makes a massive difference to where we sit in the charts, etc. And that's important for, you know, when we go into prospective sponsors, etc. So that's a free way to help the podcast. But more importantly, Lacolle. They produce performance cycling apparel, and they have supported this podcast since day one. If you're interested in picking up some Lacolle kit during the Tour de France, you can use code LRTDF20, which will get you 20% off all Lacolle items. Alejandro Valverde definitely wouldn't, you know, he needed some of that Lacolle, the rain jacket. I don't know what was going on with his jacket situation today, losing 40 minutes in 20 kilometers. But if you're in warm conditions, Lacolle just launched their lightweight collection, which can help you stay breathe. It's cool in summer on long rides, and it's made of breathable fabrics and lightweight materials. So thanks to Lacolle for supporting the podcast. The first proper high mountain stage from Oyonnax to Le Grand Bornand, 151 Ks long, three climbs put very close together with a short descent after the second climb. So this is a hard stage, especially with rolling sort of medium mountain before the first climb. The climbs go 6Ks, 8% descent, 9Ks, 9% Col de Rome. That is steep. Then descent, then Col de la Colombier, 7.5Ks, 8.5% before a descent descent into the end. So we thought a break would win or had a good chance of winning because, well, why would anyone really care, like UAE or TGV, about controlling the break before the first climb, which is 100Ks in? But starts with a climb, 5Ks at 6.5%, and it kind of reminded me of Basque Country Stage 6, Benji, in that it just kicked off out of the neutral zone.
Yeah, certainly, and it is basically what we said yesterday. Yesterday, the people found out that there is a weakness to the team of UAE, putting potential outsiders in the breakaway to try and get UAE to pace it back and try and reduce the strength of their team. It worked yesterday. Could it work again today? They certainly tried. We had attacks from the get-go. And some of those attacks included riders that we did expect to go in the breakaway, but that did influence the back of the peloton to open up because we saw so many people dropping. Merlier, one of the first sprinters to drop, surprising. Not really, I guess. In the Giro, he wasn't the best climber either when it comes to the sprinters. One of the worst ones, actually. And then we see Froome dropping as well as one of the early riders together with Demar and so forth. Gav a bit later, so we can healthily say that Cavendish is a better climber than Chris Froome at the Tour de France, which is crazy.
Can I just jump in? And I know people who listen to this podcast follow cycling, they know. But I think it's, at this point, almost offensive and counterproductive the way, say, Rick Verbrugge and Adams are talking in the media about Froome. It makes them look like a joke, what they're saying. He's literally getting dropped out of neutral by Cavendish, and they're saying, well, he's improving and we're going to go to the Vuelta. Like, I'm not hating on Froome. I'm just saying, why are you saying the same stuff you've been saying for a year, guys? Just accept reality and say, yeah, it's shit what's happening with Froome. You know, we're going to reevaluate in the off season or whatever. Or just don't comment on it. Sorry, continue, Benji.
Yeah, I agree with your standpoints. But in the peloton, indeed, those were the ones that were dropping off early. We saw a lot of people drop on that initial section, so we knew that a large gruppetto will form in this stage and might not come back after this first climb to the peloton at the front. And that was indeed what was happening because so many attacks followed. Let's go over a few scenarios because we literally can't talk about every single attack.
Constant.
But the most important ones were, we saw Van Aert getting into breakaways quite a few times, trying to get away, UAE directly responding. You think that that's a smart thing? Do you consider Van Aert as a GC contender or competitor that Pogacar should be afraid of at that point in the race?
I think so, yeah. Particularly when it was going, there was still like 80Ks. If you got in a break with like 25 riders and they rode full for 80Ks before the first climbs, then, you know, it's not ideal that he gets another 5 or 7 minute gap. So Wout van Aert, yeah, I'd chase him. But they were also chasing like Michael Woods, Benji. Like McNulty was kind of chasing everything, thrashing around.
That didn't make sense at all. Like you've got Woods that is not going for GC. He's arguably going only for stage wins at the moment. There's a descent at the end of the stage, so he's not winning the stage anyway. And you've got McNulty pacing it down. And I don't know why. Is it to try and get McNulty in the breakaway? It was a bit of an attack chase and not directly a pace by McNulty, but I didn't get it. I feel like when you've got a leader like Pogacar, you put your team near Pogacar, you won't use a rider to try and get in the breakaway as a satellite rider for your leader if your leader is Pogacar here. So even that wouldn't make sense. So quite simple as that. I think that that was not a clever move. I think that when it comes to Van Aert, you're on the edge. Is it dangerous? Not directly, but it could form a danger if you don't watch out. If it's Van Aert and then someone else like a Port goes in at it as well and that break gets time, then it could potentially get and become a threat. And at that point in the race, at the climbing section with the descent afterwards, it's not that risky to try and use a rider to try and close it down quickly, because it's not like a flat section yesterday where you have 29 riders getting away directly. That was not the case here. But we saw some other moves as well. Port and Hart, like I mentioned. Richie Port trying a lot, like we mentioned yesterday, that he should try go in these breakaways, try and go in these moves. He's far enough in GC to not really be marked directly, so potentially could get in a move. And that's what he tried, but he got chased back every single time.
And can then, we also mention Wout Poels, Benji? Yeah. Wout Poels, he was like, I want to just do 150K solo TT today. And he rode like 25 seconds in front of whatever break there was at G2. Poels just rode. If they caught him, they'd then sit up a bit, he'd just attack again. So that was funny. But yeah, eventually a break did go, which wasn't that threatening.
Beforehand, I do want to talk about the fact that we saw Pogacar getting in the break as well at a certain point.
Oh, true, yeah.
Neutralize it from the inside, which worked, but at that point in the race you're like questioning whether that's a good move. Is that not risking your energy and so forth? Well, we'll know the answer in a few minutes, I guess, whether that had any influence or not. But at that point in the race, yeah, he was decided that he wanted to have some fun today, and he decided to go in the break as well together with teammates, tried to pace a bit, but eventually that got called back up because everybody in that group is like, made your Pogacar. Yeah, we're not going to pace.
No one worked at all. And Ineos actually got caught out. They didn't have a rider in there that they had to chase it back. So, yeah, offense was definitely a good idea for Pogacar. I mean, I uploaded the video late of yesterday's stage, Benji, and there was a moment where I reckon he could have closed it, and he was half closing it, and people lost his wheel on the flat. And he just sort of stopped his action, but I reckon he could have closed that break himself, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, a non-threatening break went from UAE's perspective. It had one satellite rider for Ineos, Castroviejo, but here it was, and I guess you can say Kuz for Jumbo-Visma, Kuz, Castroviejo, Woods, Alessandro Cattaneo, Valverde, Armerel, Guillaume Martin, Parapantra, Quintana, Kranderson, Benoit, Turns, Jurgensen and Yates, Izaguirre, Anao, and De La Parte. So a couple of riders with multiple teammates, for example, Kranderson will be working for Benoit, Jurgensen for Yates, and a pretty strong break, actually. I think Cattaneo not there as a satellite there to win the stage, but not a break, Benji, that you should be too concerned about if you're UAE, right?
Yeah, certainly. There's no rider in there that is dangerous for GC, and at that point in the race, you're thinking, well, there's no necessity for us to chase that down. And from that point onwards, they set up for a bit, and we saw some people try and bridge over, some people failed, some people didn't. That's how Woods got in the breakaway at the front anyway. And yeah, we saw basically nothing for a while until we started the Sassonix climb, where there was an issue actually today with a truck like blocking the road. Why is it? It's a full truck going up that mountain.
Like, mate, you're the European. You explain to me. Everyone built the roads half size here.
I don't know. Like, I generally don't get it, but hey, that's not part of our analysis. That truck got away.
My dad's a civil engineer designing roads, so yeah, maybe I'll ask him.
Yeah, sure. Okay. important analysis, you know? Anyway, the truck got away. We were able to pass through that climb. And on that climb itself, we saw that UAE was setting a decent pace to not have the gap open up to 15 minutes or something. So from that point onwards, you were questioning, are they going to keep it relatively low? Oh, it's getting to 6 minutes now, 6 minutes and a half, 7 minutes. It's going to be difficult for anybody in the peloton to like strike from here and win the stage eventually. And I don't think too much happened on the Sasso-Nyx climb, to be honest, if I
just mind serve. It was just Costa pacing sort of steady. So UAE had Formula still there behind for Pogacar. Not too many teammates, but I think Ineos were tired, honestly. I think they tried a lot in the valley a few times, particularly Gagan Hart had been very active. Thomas, do we mention Thomas and Roglic, Benji? Thomas and Roglic had been dropped earlier, so they succumbed to their injuries. Again, maybe we'll talk about Roglic at the end, keep going. And I think I'd be happy if I was UAE with the race situation, to be honest. The worst part was the first half. Once you get into the mountains, these are so steep. It's cold and rainy. This is Pogacar territory, and just because he's better than everyone here, and you still got a couple of riders. So yeah, everyone was just hanging on, not doing anything. Wout van Aert had spent a lot as well in that valley, so they get on to the next climb, the first proper one or longer one called the Rom, and I think Wout van Aert starts dropping immediately. Formolo starts pacing pretty hard. We see Port dropping, Uran distanced, lots of people going off the back. And eventually, Formolo stops. Port comes Undertaker back from the dead, goes to the front, starts hard pacing for a little bit, and then Pogacar just absolutely slaps it from that group on the second last climb of the day called the Rom. So I'm trying to get a kilometer marker, but it was like 30 kilometers to go. He's got Carapaz who gets onto the wheel. Carapaz obviously not helping him, still sitting on the wheel. And then Pogacar goes a second time. Carapaz cannot respond, and Pogacar goes solo. It was Jonas Vingegaard who was, I saw, initially chasing from the main GC contender group, and he crashed before another crash for Vingegaard in the wet. So Jumbo-Visma full with crashes. But I kind of lost touch with what was happening in the breakaway, Benji. The sort of top guys had started gone to the top. Was it like Woods went clear on Col de Rom, right?
Yes, indeed. Woods went clear when we saw some people in the second group trying to catch up. Quintana was also in that breakaway trying to catch up with Woods, but wasn't strong enough for that. He started sprinting for KOM points, but there were zero available. So, yeah, clearly training for the intermediate sprints of the coming days. And after that, we saw that Woods had a gap of like 30 seconds on people. Izaguirre in the second group almost threw it into a side street at a certain point, so good that he wasn't injured there. We had a crash in the elite group at that point. Stefan de Bod went down and Vingegaard crashed as well. Was it a stupid crash or was it like, did you see it clearly?
I think Vingegaard overlapped his front wheel again and sort of skidded out or blocked up his brake. I'm not sure, but yeah, just another one, unfortunately. Yeah,
it's been a lot for Jumbo these last few days, and they have Van Aert who is, well, relatively doing okay still, but Vingegaard also relatively doing okay still. And with that crash, that's not really going to be too amazing, you know, because we said Vingegaard is technically the best climber here, but Van Aert is still close, so you can use him as a secondary leader. But definitely not good for the team, that extra crash. But I think that when it comes to the front group, we did see that Woods had riders that were trying to catch back up after his attacks, like at Turns, for example, tried to pass everybody towards the top of these climbs. But what was the next action that happened in the elite group?
Well, it's no action, Benji. It's just Pogacar riding his pace, which is way quicker than everybody else, and Carapaz sort of going backwards. We didn't get much. They didn't really seem to have a motorbike covering the main GC contenders, sort of Enric Mas, Uran, Vingegaard, Port group. But yeah, Pogacar just riding his pace. Crest Col de Rom with a very, very healthy gap on Carapaz. Not sure what his gap was. It said, according to Amateur Pirelli, the Twitter account that does the climbing records, I think he beat, what time did he do? Like 22, yeah, I'll get up now, 26 minutes 40 for Pogacar, 27:47 for Carapaz. So he did a minute 47 ahead of Carapaz in like 4 or 5 Ks. So I think 8 seconds quicker than the Schlecks and Contador record in 2009. And then there's a short-ish descent and then they do the Col de la Colombière straight after. So there's not much time to refuel and get energy back into your body. It seemed like Woods had gone a bit too early, Benji, because Terns sort of rode his own pace, rode it back, and we just saw Woods had a big gap, like a minute plus, and Izaguirre and Terns were just coming back to him. Terns went past Izaguirre and eventually even dropped Woods on the climb. I thought, okay, if he can't, if he's 10 seconds behind Woods on the crest, Woods had already crashed like in the first 10 k's of the day on a wet descent. He can catch him on a descent, no problem. But he went past him on the climb. And the only question then, Benji, was, is Pogacar going to catch him? He was like 5 minutes behind Woods, then 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes behind Terns, 1 minute. And eventually, yeah, Terns starts the descent. Pogacar absolutely, I mean, there's not much analysis to say really on Colombia, destroyed the climb. I don't know the climbing times yet, but he put, I think he was like 3:30 ahead of, or 3:21 ahead of Carapaz on the summit of Colombia. And but he hadn't caught Terns, and then he was like 20 seconds, 25 seconds behind. So the question was, I mean, what's the, if you're his DS Benji Pogacar, what are you telling him on the crest of Colombia before that descent?
Take it safely. Don't try and catch Dylan Terns because, well, first of all, if you try and catch him, you might crash, which is not great. And next to that, you might be able to save some energy that you might need in the coming days. And it's not necessary to take away a victory like Roglic did with Mader, for example. Sorry, I had to do it. I think that Poggi just had to play it safely from that point onwards. He didn't need to go for the stage win, and he doesn't need that. He got what he came for, the 5 seconds bonus that he got at the top of the Col de la Colombière, the only goal he had today. And from that point onwards, we saw that Terns' gap was expanding and expanding and expanding towards the bottom and towards the finish line. And if Terns didn't crash from that point onwards, it was going to be Terns that wins today. In the second group, we saw that Izaguirre came back from the dead when the descent, because we know that he likes wet descents, except for the one time in the stage that he didn't like wet descents today. And Dylan Terns striving to his second Tour de France victory. Very nice for Belgium. I was hoping in the last descent that indeed, Pogacar would take it safely in the descent so that we could get one for the Belgians, but we indeed got that, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and Terns has had a bit of an up and down last couple of years. I mean, he's won a fair few GC races, like Race of Norway, Wallonie, Polonia. He's won that first stage of the Tour de France you mentioned, Benji, was back in 2019, so not that long ago. He just didn't have a great 2020, and that was on Planche de Belfie, stage six, mountaintop finish ahead of Ciccone from the break. So good to see him back in form. He was railing that descent. I was worried, Benji, when I saw Woods on Izaguirre's wheel on the descent. I was worried for his life, but thankfully he kept it up. They caught up to Pogacar, which was kind of proof that Pogacar was taking it easy. I think he lost like 20 seconds to Terns on the descent very, very quickly, and but yeah, he was still quicker, I think, than the GC group behind, who had all come together. Carapaz had Castroviejo wait up for him from the break and pull up the base of Colombia, but he got caught by that GC group. Izaguirre, Woods, Pogacar rode to the finish together. Izaguirre and Woods taking the bonus seconds from Pogacar. I was kind of surprised that they sprinted for it. But anyway, they did. Here's the full stage results. Terns, 44 seconds ahead of Izaguirre, 47 and 49 seconds ahead of Woods and Pogacar. Then on 2:33, Poles and 2:43, Yates, Paterpantra, Martin, Castaneda. And then first of the GC guys, Jonas Vingegaard at 4:09 in a group of Lutsenko, Mas Carapaz, Uran, Godu, Bilbao, Kelderman, and Ben O'Connor. So Pogacar finished 3 minutes and 20 seconds ahead of that group, and then Wout van Aert, he had to ride solo for like 35 kilometers, finished at 5:45, only a minute 40, behind the Jonas Vingegaard group. So really impressive from Wout van Aert, but nowhere near enough to keep the yellow jersey. The revised GC standings are Pogacar a minute 48 ahead of van Aert, 4:38 ahead of Lutsenko, 4:46 ahead of Uran, 5 minutes on Carapaz, on Vingegaard and Carapaz, 5:13 on Kelderman, then Mas, Godu, Bilbao round out the top 10. So just probably the craziest performance I've ever seen by Pogacar today. Just attack is the best form of defense. And yeah, did you think he could do this, Benji?
Honestly, I expected it on one of the mountain stages. I didn't expect it today yet. I expected today to be a perhaps a bit closer together. But I was thinking perhaps on a Von 2 stage, stuff like that, that he would do exactly this. I didn't see any competition for him in the last couple of days. And I thought the only way to beat him was tactically, and that didn't work today. And with a gap like that, it's going to be very difficult to find a tactic to strike back against Pogacar. Is the tour over? In my eyes, the tour is never over, because I thought a lot of times that a tour is over, and then it wasn't. But he's certainly in a very comfortable position right now. And he should probably play it relatively safe, which is bad for the entertainment value.
I don't know if he can. Doesn't seem to be the sort of rider he is. I couldn't believe today, like he just wanted to put the tour to bed, I guess. Crazy performance from Pogacar. And I know, Roglic sort of crashed early on. Maybe it would, if Roglic was there and say Roglic is on his wheel and Pogacar doesn't ride full and then the gaps aren't as big. But I guess the way the tour has worked, he said in the race in the interview afterwards, Pogacar, that he saw Ineos didn't have the legs. He thought they were tired after yesterday's effort from Carapaz, and he'd attack them. But I think Carapaz attacking yesterday, I don't think would have changed whether he could hold Pogacar's wheel, because a gap of 320 over Colombier is just a huge gap, huge difference in level. And I pretty much think the tour is over unless.
Unless he crashes. There is a strategy that works. Bahrain can have a strategy that works. They call up Marc Padun. Yeah, they disguise him as Wout Poels. It's going to be difficult to disguise him as Wout Poels. Just like smash him a bit so he's flatter and longer, and put him on a bicycle and pretend it's Wout Poels, or at least the closest rider in GC, and then put Marc Padun against Tadej Pogacar for the rest of the Tour de France. And I think that's a perfect strategy to beat him right now. Joking aside, I think that he did a wonderful performance today. Incredible, like genuinely. And Wout van Aert as well, the way he held up after the elite group, because the group of Vingegaard was in front of van Aert going into the top of the Colombier. And the way he held that gap and was not collapsing is also an insane performance. Genuinely insane. 1 minute 48 down in GC. If he keeps up this climbing level, he can definitely top 10 the tour. I think it's going to be difficult to podium it. I think that Vingegaard is still the best option for Jumbo as their leader here, depending on what the crash did today. He didn't look too worried about the crash, as his shoulder was a bit open. I'm very curious what's going to be the podium after this. Like, looking at the top 10, it's insane to think who can get a second or third in this race as well, because Lutsenko is up there on third right now. Will he hold? Uran is on fourth, man of consistency. He'll keep doing that, trying to keep consistent on every single mountain stage. Probably not collapse at any point. Kelderman is still there as well. 13 seconds load. Enric Mas is still there.
Alaphilippe's gone, by the way.
18 minutes lost today. Yeah, Valverde lost 33, but I didn't count him as a GC rider anymore. He finished together with Cavendish today. In time, by the way. So
wait,
wanted
did
to
he?
Give that in. Everybody finished
he finished
in time.
With Cavendish.
He had it cold, and we know that
he was in the break initially, so he must have legit stopped pedaling.
Yeah, well, they said it in that Netflix series, spoilers. There was one clip where they said, there's summer team, and that's certainly true.
Before I do the preview of tomorrow's stage, I guess, read the elephant in the room. Pogacar's performance, it seems to be dominating like the Reddit threads, the separate threads about it, hundreds of comments, all the Twitter innuendo, and even journalists, I assume, now might be questioning things with anonymous quotes from people. I guess we can't really profess a view on it. People listen to this podcast and we've got no inside knowledge of anything. So we've got to just watch what we're watching and recap the stage. And if you've got a view on generally whether people like his managers, et cetera, whether the rules should permit, them to continue managing teams, then maybe that's a discussion for the off season. But yeah, we can't really say anything more about it. But yeah, stage 9 tomorrow, to finishing in Tignes, it's a mountaintop finish, the first proper mountaintop finish, 145 Ks long, one cat two, an HC climb, and two cat ones. The Col de Sées is 9 Ks at 6%. There's a 2.6K, 8.8% climb before that, and then there's an intermediate sprint afterwards, then descent, then Col du Pré, 12.5K, 8%. We saw that in Dauphiné, and then the Rosellon combo straight after. Then a descent, 15K valley, and then the long climb to Tinya, 20.8 Ks at 5.5%. To be honest, Benji, if you pick Atcha, you just defend, right? You just take tomorrow off, let the break go, and let the other guys scrap for the podium. That's what I would do.
Yeah, but I still think that you're going to have to control it at some point at the start. People are going to try and attack. Like, you know, that's going to happen. If a large breakaway goes, that's your weakness. And they are going to look at who is going to be in the breakaway. Richie Porte is going to try and go in the breakaway. Riders like that. And they're going to keep trying that. I think that some people might already start looking at protecting their podium. And with a gap like today in GC, I kind of can't blame them. Because I think that consistency is their best chance at a podium right now, because people keep falling out of the podium left and right. And yeah, at this point, it wouldn't surprise me.
They can't beat Pogacar, like straight up on performance. So obviously, like, yeah, if you're Lutsenko, GC, like podium at the Tour is a huge result. You have no chance of beating Pogacar. Yeah. The only way you beat him is if he crashes out. And if he crashes out, well, then, you know, he's scrubbed off the board. So you may as well be where you are and just fight against the other guys.
The only rider that I see in this peloton that is willing to risk it all, well, not risk it all, but risk a lot to try and win, is still El Jaguar. Like, he's an attacking rider. His team is going to try and win the Tour de France. They're going to try something. They've tried a lot of somethings in the past. And I think it's not going to be easy, but I think that's the one we need to look at as the one competitor that I see coming close in having a tactic that could strike Pogacar somewhere.
All right, so who's winning from the break tomorrow? Quintana wanted to win today, but he got dropped. I think tomorrow suits Woods, in my view, Benji, more than today, because today had the descent finish.
Yep, as well. What do you think about a Dan Martin as well for the stage like that?
True. Well, he's been anonymous.
Yeah, he said that his tour has been very boring so far and his race starts in the Alps.
Okay.
So I think that the descents of the Col de Rosolon and so forth don't strike me as the most technical ones. Then again, I didn't check them, didn't ride them, so don't trust my word on that at all. So I dare to say that that would be ideal. But the problem here is that even if he's near the front at the top of these climbs, he might lose half a minute in the descent of each of these climbs. And that's what troubles here. He might be better off trying to go for a stage win in the stage like Col de Porter or something. That's the problem. Because a lot of people will attack here. People attack on every climb to try and get a bit of a gap before the next climb. Happens every time. Happened today on both climbs before the Col de la Colombière, that people attacked at the top to try and get an advantage for the next climb. And it's going to happen here, and he's not going to be the rider that can get ahead on the descents. He needs to get ahead on the climbs and try and hang on the descents. And last year we had that one stage that I think Kwiatkowski won in the end, with Carapaz just hugging him over the line. And I swear I remember that Martin at some of those climbs, or one of those climbs, was at the front of the race. And by the time we hit the bottom of that climb, it was in the peloton. So yeah, I don't know. It's going to be very difficult for him, but he's a name that I keep in mind. But I'm mainly looking at Astana. Like, I want to see Astana do more, because they tried a lot today. When I saw the weather today, I was like, Izaguirre time. It's Izaguirre time. At the start of the race, I said Izaguirre might win today's stage. He tried, but came too short. 2 days in a row, it's going to be difficult. A Fuglsang? Yeah, you're right about Lutsenko, though.
I guess Fuglsang really wouldn't ride for him, though. Fuglsang probably won't ride for Lutsenko too much. I think Esteban Chavez on 12:50 on GC, Chavez climbing really well, but is he far enough behind the podium guys to be happy with him in a break? Mm-hmm. Again, Ben O'Connor is not far enough behind for Movistar and EF to be happy with him getting 10 minutes in a break. So O'Connor, it looks like he's going for top 10 on GC. Pardon?
Guillaume Martin?
Yeah, of course, he'll try. Quintin Pacher as well will try. Miguel Angel Lopez is on 26 minutes. If he's in any form, he can, of course, win this stage from the break. But he's been banged up as well. Nibali, Benji?
Nah, he's not good enough at climbing at the moment.
Oh, surprised you said that.
No, you have to be, I find when it comes to being a fan of a rider, you can be a fan of a rider. I mean the hell out of being a fan of Nibali, but gotta be rational as well. He's not good enough, and if he goes with the current form to the Olympics, he's gonna get fucked. So I don't believe that he's the best Italian on the star list, even for the Olympics. And I feel like I'm still a hardcore fan throughout the losses here and throughout stuff like that. I'm happy that we've seen him a lot this first week. I'm really happy about that. But I shouldn't be blinded by loyalty.
I think if the GC group goes to, you know, Tinya first, Pagacha will win easily. So, yeah, that's what will happen tomorrow. Hopefully it's a big break and maybe we see some podium battles as well. The question I wanted to circle back to, Benji, was Roglic and Thomas finishing in the gruppetto. I would personally, if you're paying, I don't know how many millions you're paying Jumbo-Visma, you're paying Roglic, and, you know, he's your best GC rider, second best rider in the world. Surely you're thinking about sending him home, right?
Yeah, and there's more to that. Like, we're questioning whether he should be sent home. I think perhaps yes. Like, in current form, he doesn't strike me as being able to help too much, perhaps in the third week. Depends on what he wants. I've heard they were going to decide on Monday on the rest day, so perhaps that's a good thing to do. But another day in the mountains, again, finishing gruppetto most likely tomorrow. I'm not sure that's too healthy, but I'm not a doctor, so I can't say that. But an extra question arises. What happens if Pogacar keeps this up? What happens if Pogacar keeps this up and wins this Tour de France? Like, a pure dominant performance. Then next year, what are you going to have? Are you going to have people trying to go for the Giro and the Vuelta, the one that Pogacar is not at, just trying to avoid him at all costs? Because he's going to the Vuelta as well this year.
I don't know. I think you still go to the Tour, because we're seeing now, though, if you do that, Benji, what if Landa's here and he's missing out on a Tour de France podium? Like,
yep.
There's still second or third of the Tour de France is serious performance.
The podium is most open in years, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people like Lutsenko, genuine chance for the podium. Kelderman and Mas as well. So even Gudu is like on within a minute of all those guys. So, yeah, I think I wouldn't personally. I think it's showing this year that people crash out. Roglic, you know, was 1A, 1B favorite before this tour started, and he's crashed out now. The podium's super open. Ineos looking weak because they've tried their best. They crash a lot, and they've tried their best to attack Pogacar. If you're Ineos, Benji, do you give up attacking Pogacar on a mountain stage because you're just going to get burned? Like, do you think Ineos, they're not going to pace Tinya tomorrow? Like, that would just be suicide.
I think that what you try and do is protect him, protect Carapaz, try and go for a solid, safe position of Carapaz at the moment and go in the breakaway with someone, getting hot, let him go for a stage. You've got something out of this tour next to a podium if you end this. And
he looks
later
good.
On, you can still fight back. So you can still try and fight back if you've got a stage in your pocket. And Egan Hart's looking decent, tried a few times today, stuff like that. So, yeah, I think that Ineos could try and have multiple goals here. We saw the same with Jumbo right now today, that Kuz was trying to go for KOM points at a certain point.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, one KOM point, he decided to move forward and started sprinting at somebody, but then he got wrecked in the last second. I'm not sure about that. I think Vingegaard deserves support, and true, they don't have a lot of riders to do so. So, because it's going to need to be top level to help Vingegaard secure a podium here. And I think that if they do, then he can podium. And yesterday I was very skeptical about it, but today he confirmed in the mountains that he's definitely the leader that Jumbo has right now, next to Van Aert as co-leader, but not a better leader. So Vingegaard is a rider that I see surprising a lot of people and finishing on the podium here of the Tour de France if they actually support him. And that's what I saw today with them not having him go back to Van Aert to try and keep him in yellow, for example, which would have been such a stupid tactic if they did that, and they didn't. So that's great.
So, yeah, that's the end of our Stage 8 recap, another pretty surreal stage of the Tour de France. I guess people might think the competitive tension is out of the race. I guess I agree with you a little bit in respect to the GC. But if there's one thing that's happened in this tour I've learned so far is it's one of the craziest Tour de France I've seen in recent years. So I'm expecting it to still be that way. Can't wait to see what happens tomorrow. But until then, ciao.